Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, State Senator Reuben Kiewen. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Ray Hager, Russell Rose, Steve Robinson, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I proudly sit on the board of the Nevada Youth Empowerment Project. Northern Nevada's homeless youth population is growing, and fast. It is estimated that there may be hundreds of homeless teens living in Washoe County. NYEP is a local transition home for homeless girls aged 17 to 21. NYEP has received a $37,000 challenge grant that must be matched by June 1st. Don't leave these girls on the street. Please donate today at nvyep.org.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome to the program for the first time, State Senator Reuben Kiewen. It's a pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
Finally.
Thank you. Finally. First time, and I'm excited.
Well, we're excited to have you. And this is a great time. And I'm going to start off with a national topic before we get to legislative issues. Because an interesting thing happened with this immigration bill that's going through Congress and coming out of the, or at least being marked up out of the Judiciary Committee. I remember back in before the 86 bill was passed that you had people working on it, but it wasn't till Peter Rodino, who was the U.S. Senator at the time, attached his name to the legislation that suddenly you knew that it was actually going to go through, because there are so many roadblocks along the way. We just heard in the last couple of days that Orrin Hatch has now signed his name on. Think it's going to get done finally?
Well, look, first of all, immigration is a topic that's very close and dear to my heart. You know, for those that don't know, I'm the only immigrant currently serving in the state legislature. I was born in Mexico, brought to this country when I was 8 years old. So when you talk about immigration, you know, it's one of those topics that is just very close, very near and dear to my heart. So in the last couple of days, when I saw the Senate Judiciary Committee finally come through with the bill, pass out a bill, obviously, it was an exciting moment for me, but also for the 11 million undocumented people who are here in this country, for the 50 million Hispanics and immigrants who are in this country. Look, we all know that we have a broken immigration system. You know it's broken when you have people who are trying to cross the border illegally. You know it's broken when you have people that are sacrificing their lives, and some of them losing their lives trying to cross the border. Just to try to come here to America. And you know it's broken when you have to wait up to 15 years just to come in to the country legally. So I'm very excited that both Republicans and Democrats, Congress members and senators, and the president are finally on the same page and discussing a comprehensive immigration reform package. I don't know what's ultimately going to come out of Congress, but whatever it is, it's a big step forward. Because the last time that we had an immigration reform was back in 1986 during Ronald Reagan's...
27 years ago.
Exactly. And that's the reason why I'm here in America. My father took advantage of that immigration reform. And because of that, we were able to come here legally. We were able to work hard, educate ourselves, sacrifice ourselves, and achieve that American dream. I wouldn't be in the state Senate today had it not been for that opportunity that was afforded to my family.
You know, and it's interesting because a lot of things get lost along the way. People talk about citizenship as the be-all and end-all, and it really isn't. Getting a temporary residency permit is the beginning, and then it's several years before you can then get permanent residency, and then it's several years before you even have the opportunity to become a citizen. But that isn't really what most people are looking for. What most people are looking for is some kind of status, you know, legal status. And that has just not been available in this country. That if somebody, for whatever reason, finds themselves in the country without status, there's no way to change that.
You're absolutely right. I think most of the undocumented people that I know, lots of people that live in my district, you know, they tell me, they say, Ruben, I'm not looking to become a citizen tomorrow. Look, I just want an opportunity to be in this country legally. I want an opportunity to be able to purchase a home, purchase a car, be able to drive around and just not feel intimidated that if a police officer stops me that I can get deported. I just want an opportunity to succeed. And in most instances, I want to say 99% of the time, these are people who are hardworking people who have who are paying taxes, who are sacrificing each and every day just to put food at the table. I mean, you would do the same thing for your family. You would work hard, sacrifice yourself, educate yourself, trying to learn the English language just to be able to succeed. So most of these folks, they're willing to wait, but they just want to be able to wait here while, you know, with documents. So legally, instead of having to go back to their country, wait 10, 15 years, they want to have an opportunity to be able to stay here. And again, this immigration reform package, I don't know exactly what's going to come out of it. But look, I'm the first one to say, if you come to this country, if you want to become naturalized, if you want to become a legal resident of this country, first of all, you have to learn English. And yes, you have to pay taxes. And yes, you have to wait in line. And yes, you have to pay a fine for coming here undocumented. But at the same token, we live in a country where if you come here, you work hard, you sacrifice, you educate yourself, and you give back to this country, that you can achieve anything you can, you want. And so again, I'm a perfect example. My family is a perfect example. And look, if you come here and you, you're a criminal, you commit a crime, you murder someone, you steal, you rob, you rape, you should be deported. You should be the first one to get deported. I'm the first one to say that. But again, we have to give an opportunity to those people who are here working hard.
You know, out of all this, there's only one thing I'm going to disagree with you on, and that is the idea that you have to speak English, because I think it's a specious argument. You know, so many different groups have come to this country in the past, and, you know, the first generation doesn't necessarily speak English, but the second generation does. And if the first generation needs to communicate, they will be able to do so by getting somebody who will be able to translate for them. I mean, that's not a big deal. And also, you know, in the last immigration reform, they had you had to understand the U.S. Constitution was part of it. It was
correct.
The English-speaking version correct. Back then. And what it turned out to be, I discovered, was that you were given a set of 100 questions. And you were given another sheet that had the 100 answers to those 100 questions, and then they would ask you 6 or 10 of them.
Right.
I mean, it was a joke. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to have somebody qualified to speak English, I think is going to be about the same thing, which is, if you can say these 10 sentences, you can speak enough English.
Right. Well, and look, I mean, I myself, again, when I came to this country, I couldn't speak a word of English. My parents, my father, he knew somewhat. He had been here as a tourist several times. But again, you know, if you want to achieve that American dream, you know, if you want to be able to purchase that home and get that nice car and have a good job, you know, again, this country is made up of immigrants, right? Unless you're a Native American, you come from immigrants.
All right, but you know what? I'm going to throw in just a humorous aside here, which is that if you want to succeed in this country, you know, from this year onward, the important thing is that people who only speak English need to learn Spanish. Because if you want to make money, if you can speak Spanish and English, you're going to make a lot more money.
You're absolutely right.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
To state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Ruben Kiwin. Let's turn to issues here at the legislature. Do you think that the Democratic plan for tax hikes in the legislature are dead?
Look, nothing is dead until the end of session.
Is it on a respirator?
Look, we're in negotiations, continuing negotiations with the minority party. Just a couple of days ago, we had an interesting debate on the Senate floor on education funding. In my personal belief, it was a debate that we needed to have out in the public, in the media, in front of our constituents, you know, live online, just for the sake of being able to come to a compromise. You know, all of us had an opportunity to speak, to talk about what we believe in, to maybe get whatever was off our chest, And so now we're at the point where both the Democrats and the Republicans are forced to come to the table and try to come to a compromise. With only 12 days left of the session, I'm still optimistic that something can come out of it. Again, I'm not completely satisfied with the governor's budget. He has made additional improvements on ELL, for example, and I commend him for that. But I think we still have a lot more work to do. There's still a lot more funding that needs to be made on education specifically. And so we're hoping that we could sit down with the Republicans, with the governor, and come to a compromise.
You're an educator, and one thing you know how to do is count. And at this point, you would need three Republicans to cross over in the Senate and one in the Assembly. It doesn't look to me like you got a prayer of that happening, unless you are willing to give up on the issues that have gone on over and over again, PERS reform, construction defects, prevailing wage, and you Democrats are not going to give up on those.
Look, you're absolutely correct. The legislature, unfortunately, you know, you need three votes in the Senate to get anything accomplished. You know, a lot of people say, well, the Democrats are in charge. Why can't you guys pass a budget that increases funding for education? Well, a lot of Nevadans don't know that we need two-thirds to be able to make that happen. So we need three Republicans. And you're right. At this point, we have not been able to get those three Republicans on board. They have offered certain things in exchange for their support. They are things that we are not willing to compromise on. We don't think it's worth stealing from Pete to give to Paul. I think if we really want to have a diversified economy here in the state of Nevada, if we want to stop depending on gaming and mining, we have to make a serious investment in education. We have to start educating our workforce, our students, so when they go out there and we bring in these new types of jobs, the jobs of the future, what we call, they're able to fulfill those jobs. Because right now at this moment, we have a 50% high school dropout rate. If you're happy with that, then let's continue passing the same budget. We have one of the highest percentages of students of teen pregnancies. We have one of the lowest percentages of students that are going on to college. We have one of the lowest percentages of students completing college.
And I certainly appreciate all of those things. But in part of that is the transitional nature of our state, the work that is available in our state that means that in a lot of families, especially poorer families, both husband and wife may be working not just one job each, but two jobs each. The level of homelessness across the state, but in particular in Southern Nevada, is astonishing. The level of free meals and supplemented meals that we provide here in the state, those are also reasons why, you know, we have problems, you know, getting that graduation rate higher. So it's not just a question of money in education per se, but it's the whole social situation we find ourselves in. And if you're going to continue to have gaming as the major basis for our economy, especially in Southern Nevada, how do you change that?
Right, and again...
And it's not just a money issue. I'm not saying it doesn't need money, but it's not a money
right.
issue.
It's one of those questions, what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? Again, the part of the reason why we've gotten to this point is because in the past, we've never really had the need to invest in education as much because our economy was growing. For the past 25 years, we were the fastest growing state. Gaming was doing great. Mining was doing great. Everybody had jobs. Construction was on the up. Everybody who worked in the construction industry had a job. But unfortunately, when the recession hit, that's when it kind of hit the state, saying, look, we cannot continue on this boom and bust cycle. We need to start investing in education. And again, not just financially, but also, with policy-wise. We've been doing things the same way over and over for the past 25 years. We haven't seen different results. We do need to pass certain kinds of education reforms.
All right,
but at the same time, also invest in money.
James Guthrie, who is somebody who is very different in the way he looks at education, gone. Dwight Jones, a great guy, I thought, you know, a terrific superintendent for Clark County, gone after only 2 years. So it seems like we got a lot of work to do in those areas.
I would agree.
And by the way, just briefly here, do you not think that over the next 2 years, with over $10 billion worth of new projects being announced in Clark County in Las Vegas, that the economy is going to naturally start growing again and there will be naturally more money without the need to raise taxes?
You know, that's the hope. I'm not one to sit here and just say, let's raise taxes. I do think that the state needs to buckle up. I think we need to be fiscally conservative. But again, it gets to a point where you can only cut so much until you get to the bone.
But the governor is sweeping every dollar that he can find and putting it back into education. So, I mean, it's not like...
Right, but remember that right now with the current budget, without having to raise taxes right now or additional revenue, what the governor is doing is basically taking money from certain areas and putting it into education. And great, I do commend him for that, and I do commend the effort that he's making. But again, if you take away money from one source to give to another, then this other source is going to start suffering. I'll give you an example. Just last night, I spoke at a prison.
On our next visit, we're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. Come back soon, will you?
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
I'm Jennifer Rose.
And I'm John Oliver.
And we're excited to bring Plush Life to News 4.
Plush Life highlights businesses, events, and some incredibly inspiring people.
Plus, you'll learn about food, wine, health, and plenty about industry and community leaders.
We believe in community involvement and living a life full of love, health, and happiness.
Yes, John, that is the definition of a Plush Life.
Watch us on Sunday nights beginning June 2nd at 6:30, only on News 4.
Tune in and make your life plush with the Plush Life.
Hi, I'm Monica Jay, and it's time to get ready for summer with Christensen Automotive. And make sure your RV, fifth wheel, or trailer is ready to enjoy the warm weather. You can save up to $30 on repacking your trailer's wheel bearings before May 31st. Just call and make your appointment. They can also provide a complete inspection of generators, brakes, tires, AC, and batteries before you leave home.
Travel safe with Christensen Automotive.
Do not buy furniture until Friday, May 24th. Ennis's great $2 million total furniture sell-off and retirement sale begins on Friday, May 24th. The Ennis family has made the decision to sell out their stock as they update and reorganize for the next generation. This sale with liquidation pricing will be worth waiting for. Meanwhile, our store is closed to mark down prices on all inventory. Come May 24th, you're going to be able to buy America's finest furniture for a whole lot less. Watch the newspaper for details.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Russell Rowe is with us from the Capital Company, Trey Abney with the Chamber, and Steve Robinson, Senior Advisor at R&R Partners. Pleasure to have you all here.
Russell, let me start with you since you're closest to me. Is that you probably, you guys, as I did, probably watched the stirring Senate debate the other day about taxes, about education and other things. But when I was listening to the senators, I was saying, okay, this is it for any kind of tax hikes or tax reform in the legislature. It seemed like those who want new taxes, who want tax reform, that day were raising the white flag. And I just wanted to see what perhaps you guys think of that.
Well, in all honesty, it seems like the debate never really got started, right? I mean, leadership, at least the Democratic leadership, talked about starting that discussion on day two.
Right.
Day two came and went. Day four, day 10, day 50, never really had that discussion. So there really wasn't a tax plan, in my opinion. So nothing got started. Nothing really was meant to be ended.
Steve, if there's, you know, this is what I think. Well, some people say, oh, it's a disappointment when we don't have any tax plan. But the way I look at it is, hey, for a lot of Nevadans, that's good, and it's a good legislature sometimes when you just pay the bills, balance the budget, keep the lights on, and get out of town. And I see that happening with this legislature.
Oh, that's not necessarily a bad ending.
Yeah.
I mean, I think some of it was preordained, probably starting out with the governor's state of the state, no new taxes, and the lack of any kind of game plan, I guess, from the Democrats, that you would have thought that they'd huddle someplace and come up with one, but it seemed like it was put together.
Trey?
There was never any votes for this, specifically the modified business tax increase that Majority Leader Dennis had pulled from the hearing that day. So I kind of appreciate the fact that we didn't have to go through the whole circus on something that was never going to go anywhere in the first place. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, they keep talking about folks coming to the table. There are probably more Republicans in that building this session than in a long time that are willing to have a revenue discussion, willing to even raise taxes if you do some things on construction defect, public employee collective bargaining, prevailing wage, et cetera, et cetera. When the Democrats never come to the table with real solutions on that, the Republicans are never going to come to the table for taxes.
Well, the things that you just mentioned, Trey, I think they're all dead except for construction defects.
Right.
But the construction defects bill that's being heard is a Democrat's Skip Daley, and not the one that
And it's a bad bill. It does nothing to solve the problem. The coalition, including the chamber, will be opposing that bill this morning when it comes up. And that's the point. They're not offering real solutions. The industry has come to this legislature session after session, said this is how we solve this problem. The only people winning are the trial lawyers. We don't need to take care of the one percenters. They're doing just fine. We need to take care of small business owners and builders and people that employ people. You want more money for schools? Bring more jobs and bring more businesses. Allow more businesses to operate. Change construction deals.
You don't have to beat up the table.
Russ, it seems like the governor, as Steve was alluding to, has based his strategy in the entire session on what was in the state of the state. The legislature has not had much opportunity to change things. And, in fact, the governor has swept every amount of money that's come in. He's put it into education. So he really has been in total control of the session.
He clearly has, and the session, we don't need to wait to the end of the session to declare who the winner is. The governor clearly, clearly managed this session very well. As Steve said, it doesn't seem like the Democrats came in with any type of game plan, really, when it came to the major issues. And the governor has managed things very well, and it's going to come out looking well.
In covering this legislature for the last 10 years, one thing that I've learned, and it's come true this year, is that if you want to comprehensive tax plan, you can't, you have to, like Governor Gwynne did, like in the big tax debate in 2003, that started in 2002 with the governor's blue ribbon panel on taxes, and you need to get that stuff all out on the table, vet it before the session begins, and I think that maybe modern-day Democrats have lost that idea.
Well, I think there's an idea to do that with a sales tax on services. The idea is to do not a study over the interim, but what they call an implementation plan, to actually lay it out and get it ready so that when we hit this building February 2015, they're ready to start working.
Steve,
on that.
You know, the 800-pound gorilla is still the margins tax, you know, and no real opposition to the margins tax that's coming out of this session. Do you think that anything is going to develop before we get done here?
Oh, probably not before we get done, but once it goes on the ballot and before it goes on the ballot, I think there'll be a lot done on both sides.
It's going to be
it
war.
Won't be a one-sided issue.
Steve, what do you mean by that? Do you think there'll still be a competing tax initiative come out after the legislature?
No. I'm just saying I don't think it'll be a slam dunk when it goes to a vote.
Well, right. There's going to be a huge campaign against that.
A lot of money spent on that.
This is like Obama-Romney, buddy.
Listen, speaking as somebody who owns a program that relies on commercial advertising, it's a good thing. We'll be right back on Nevada Tuesday because after this timeout.
Internet just got in a shipment of 2011 Ford Fiestas, and they're all priced at $13,988. Pick your color, pick your payment. Plus, get finance rates as low as 1.15%. Why pay the difference if you can't tell the difference? At Internet, Auto Rent and Sales.
New furniture costs even less now during the Memorial Day sale at Moore.
For example, your choice of this sofa or this queen bed, each just $3.99.
This counter height dining set, now just $5.99.
This oak dining set, now just $5.99.
This complete living room, only $7.99.
Get this complete five-piece queen bedroom for just $7.99.
This all-leather seating power reclining sofa, now just $9.99.
And this complete queen bedroom, now just $9.99.
Plus many, many more available on sale now at Moore Furniture for Less.
News 4's Fact Finder team, winner of the Edward R. Murrow Award and now nominated for an Emmy. Our Silver State Secret Stories shed light on legal loopholes and government secrets. News 4, your home for investigative journalism in Northern Nevada and the Sierra. News 4's Joe Hart, working for you.
Getting answers to the questions you ask the most.
Submit your questions to jhart@mynews4.com. And remember to put Ask Joe in the subject line. Ask Joe, weeknights on News 4 at 6.
And they're off. Winnemucca's 26th annual Mule Show and Races is coming your way with two great days of Wild Western action. Place your bets June 1st and 2nd at the Winnemucca Event Complex. And don't forget to check out the legendary Mule Show and Western Trade Show. Come for the whole weekend or just one day. But remember, June 1st and June 2nd, your odds of having a great time go way up. And don't forget, RVs are welcome in Winnemucca. Call 775-623-2220 or visit us online.
Internet just got in a shipment of 2013 Ford Explorer XLTs with leather, and they're all priced at $33,988. Pick your color, pick your payment. Plus, get finance rates as low as 1.15%. Why pay the difference if you can't tell the difference? At Internet, Auto Rent and Sales.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. From Carson City next week, we'll have Pat Hickey, the Assembly Minority Leader, and also a full half hour with U.S. Senator Harry Reid right here on Nevada Newsmakers. We'll be right back.